heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 6 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. That's the word of the Lord. You may have a seat. God's kingdom is simple, but not easy. God's kingdom is simple, but not easy. And today, that's the truth that I want us to look into. And this passage has a picture of farming, you know, farming, planting. We're being told of a story of a farmer who had a seed called the mustard seed, and he planted it. It grew and grew into a beautiful tree, and the birds would come and find nest, rest in that tree. Planting or farming is easy, and I'm using that word. Is simple, rather, but not easy. It's simple in a way that you understand what needs to go into farming. You understand that farming involves tilling the ground. You understand that farming involves weeding, you know, maybe fertilizing, you know, or doing all kinds of things that you know is involved into farming. But just because you understand it doesn't mean it is easy to do. Just because you know it and you understand it doesn't mean it is easy for you to do. In fact, tilling the ground is hard work. Hard work. Weeding is hard work. It is hard work. That's why a lot of people don't do it properly, and some don't even do it at all, because it's hard work. They know it's going to be good for their fields, but they will not do it, because even though you know, doesn't mean that you will do it. And you understand this even in your own life. This happens. And I think for most of us, understand some things in our lives that are good for us that we should be doing. But we find that there's this disconnect in our lives between what we know and with what we do, with what we know. There's a huge disconnect. A lot of us know that probably maybe exercise is good for us. Maybe reading is good for you, right? We understand. But it's not a lot of us that do it. In fact, most of us don't. Even though we know it's good for us, but we find ourselves not doing. So knowledge itself is not an enough motivation to motivate you to do something that's important to you or something that will be good for you. It's not. And we see that it happens to us. And the same happens with God. There are things about God that we know that God calls us to be. The things about God that we know that He calls us to do, but somehow we don't do it. So the kingdom of God is simple, but not easy, meaning that there is no vagueness when it comes to the requirements of God's kingdom, or when it comes to what God calls you to do and to be. We understand that Jesus tells us and calls us to love. He says love. He calls us to be kind. He calls us to be thankful, to be generous, to show mercy. He calls us to do these things. Now, because these things are clear to us, does not mean they're easy to do. They're actually quite hard to do. It's not easy to love well. It's not easy to be kind to the people that are being unkind to you. It's not easy to show compassion to people that have been cruel towards you. It's not easy to do the things of the kingdom of God, even though we know them to be clear. So therefore, the question becomes, what should be the motivation for us to pursue the things we know and see clearly but find hard to do? What can motivate us then to jump into those things? For us to still pursue the things that we find hard? What can be the motivation? Because we know just knowledge alone is not enough to motivate us to do the things we know are good, the things we know God calls us to do. And an invitation for us is to live with a kingdom mindset, to live a kingdom-centered life. A kingdom-centered life helps you realize that actually, you being a part of God's kingdom, it's a privilege. It's a privilege for you to be a part of God's kingdom. It's a privilege because God is building something amazing, something great in the world, and He calls you to be a part of it. This is bigger than yourself. Much bigger than yourself. And when you see what God is going to build, what God is building in the world, then what happens is that you look at the cost. You look at the cost of what's demanded on you, and you see the beauty of what God is building. Then you are like, you know what? I would rather this cost me this, because I understand the beauty that comes when God builds His kingdom. And I'm hoping that in this sermon series, we can see two things. Number one, we could have a better view of God's kingdom, because the way you view God's kingdom will shape the way you live your life. And number two, I'm hoping we could pay attention to this reality that God calls us to be a part of His kingdom. And when He calls us to be a part of His kingdom, He wants us to experience His kingdom, but also He wants those around us to experience His kingdom. So there is an invitation for us that every single day, the way we are living our lives, we're going to live our lives to the way that will contribute to the building of God's kingdom. So therefore, let's live kingdom-centered lives. When you're living kingdom-centered lives, you will realize three amazing truths that we find in this passage. And truth number one, God does not call us to what's easy. He calls us to what glorifies Him the most. God does not call us to what's easy. He calls us to what will glorify Him the most. There is an invitation for you to go to places that will give honor and glory to God the most. In this parable, we see Christ giving an example of a mustard seed. Before the mustard seed was planted, it was just an ordinary, normal seed. Before it was planted, it was not an exciting thing. It wasn't. But when the seed was planted, then something exciting, something amazing happened. It grew, bearing fruit, which is multiplication, and became a nesting space for the birds. It flourished that it wowed everybody and became a thing that was serving those that were around it. But this seed had to go through a planting process. Now, when you're going through a planting process, when you plant a seed, there are those maybe 2 to 3 days, you know, where it seems like nothing is happening, right? It's a very dark space, very dark moment that happens. And the seed has to go through that dark period. And then it pops up. But also when it pops up, there will be weeds waiting for it to compete for food. Opposition coming. And maybe some pruning would have to happen for it to produce the best of fruit. But it has to go through this process, which could be hard. But it is going through that process that will produce the most out of this. It's going to come to a place that it gives honor, it gives glory, it gives glory to God. So therefore, for every single one of us in here, we need to understand that God is calling us, and the things of the kingdom of God can sometimes be hard. But when we say yes to that, we're going to come to a place that will give glory to God. So therefore, it is very, very important for you to not look at the cost, but to look at the glory. Remove your eyes on the cost and focus on the glory. Now, when we're talking about the glory of God, or just the word glory actually means weight, heaviness. Tons, kgs, like the weight. It means weight. So when we say the glory of God, we mean the weight of God. There is a weight that the name of God carries when we choose to go to places He's inviting us, when we choose to do things that He's inviting us, when we choose to say yes to what God is calling us, when we say yes to that, our obedience will take us to places that will give God's name the weight it deserves. And how does that look like? Because of your obedience, other people might say, wow, God is true. God is true. Just seeing your life, just seeing how God has worked in that situation, God is true. That statement alone gives the name of God the weight it deserves. Because of your obedience, other people might say, wow, God cares. God really, really cares. Just seeing his life, just seeing her life, God really cares. Because you said yes to something that God was inviting you to jump into. That gives the name of God the weight it deserves. Because of your obedience, other people might say, God is good. You know, other people will never see the goodness of God, and they only see it through you. Say, God is good. Giving God's name the weight it deserves. Now, glorifying God or giving God glory does not mean that, hey, we are the ones that are holding the glory and God is just waiting there. Like, come on, give me. Give me the glory. And then we throw it to him and he says, hey, thank you for giving me the glory. That's not how it's working here. Another way of looking at this is that your obedience to God takes you to a place where your heart finds it easy to agree with what God already is. Your obedience to God takes you to a place where your heart finds it easy for you to agree with who God already is. That's the way of looking at it. So the same happens. Even when we are singing songs, God will lift your name on high. You know, when we are doing that, does not mean like in that moment God feels a little bit lifted than he was a minute ago. No. That's not what we're saying. When we say, God, I lift your name on high, what we are telling ourselves is that I'm coming to a place where I can agree with who God already is, that God is already lifted high. God is already glorified. He's above all names. That I'm allowing my heart to find it easy to agree with who God is. Giving God's name the weight it deserves. So, God might be calling you. Do something, and you know, I understand what he's calling me to, but it's not easy to do. I want to say, do it anyway. It might not be easy to forgive that person that wronged you last week, but then they did it again yesterday. It might not be easy to forgive them, but if you do, God's kingdom will be on full display. It might not be easy for you to love that person, but when you do, God's kingdom will be on full display. It might not be easy for you to be kind or to show kindness to that person that you know somehow they're just mad towards you and you have no idea why. And if you don't say anything to them, they'll never say anything back to you. It can be a bit hard. Maybe you're in a meeting and you know this person always, no matter what kind of idea you bring up, they always crash it down. Like, I don't know what I did to you. It can be hard to be kind to that person. But if you do, God's kingdom will be on full display. It might be hard for you to show generosity to that person for the 20th time now. It might be hard. But if you do, God's kingdom will be on display. So God is building his kingdom. And when you choose to be a part of it, when you say yes to his kingdom, his name will be glorified the most there. Some of you understand what that is. You know what God might be calling you to do in this season. And you know it's hard. But do it anyway. So that God can gate the weight he deserves through your story. Number two. When you begin to live a kingdom-centered life, you realize that God does not call us to what's easy, but he calls us to what grows us the most. God does not call us to what's easy. He calls us to what grows us the most. Growth is such a beautiful thing. Absolutely fantastic. But we also understand, all of us understand, that honestly, growth never takes the easiest of ways. Growth sometimes actually sucks. Adulting sucks, right? Some of us be like, oh, I wish I was a kid, right? Why do I have to be an adult now? Come on, take me back. Adulting. Like that meme that I saw this week, which said, oh, I wish I could be telling these things to my older brother, but I realize I'm the first one in the family. Because now, hey, adulting now, it means you need to pay bills, taking care of other people, right? Talking about taxes and all kinds of things. But even though we might hate some of those things, but we also know, actually, to really, if it were to happen for us to go back, we wouldn't even enjoy that either, right? There's a growth that happens when you say yes to God's kingdom. There is something else that God wants to grow in you, wants to grow with you, and he wants to grow through you. He wants to grow in you, unless if you say yes to him. A mustard seed was just too small. But when it went through the right process, it grew. It became a big tree which saved everybody around it. It was beautiful and useful. Beautiful and useful. And I think there's some kinds of growth that are not coming from outside, but there are things that's already within that God wants to expose. Like there are treasures in you that God has already deposited within you. But you need to go through some sort of process for that to get exposed. This was just a seed and then becomes a tree. This tree just was already in there, just came out, right? But it had to go through the right processes. And I think for some of us, we need to go through certain processes so that we can already see and experience what's already within, that God has to expose it. However, going through that might not be enjoyable. We might go through some discomfort and might not be good for us. But we must say yes. We must say yes and we must do it. For you to become something, you need to be willing to do it. For you to be a loving person, then you must be willing to love. For you to grow to become a kind person, you must be willing to show kindness and be kind to people. For you to be considered as a merciful person, you need to show mercy. For you to be considered as a forgiving person, you need to forgive. You need to do it. For you to become it, you need to do it. That's the only way. But that doing does not mean it's easy. Now I must say that growth never happens in isolation, but growth always happens in community. Growth never happens in isolation, always happens in community. Even in this analogy of planting a seed, for a seed to grow, it requires certain things that are from without. Some things that are outside of the seed itself. Things like water, light, maybe fertilizers or just fertile soil that will be good for it to grow. And the same thing for you guys, for us. We cannot grow in isolation. We can grow in community. And we need to be willing to be a part of a community. You heard Chikondi this morning just talking about, hey, we do growth groups. That happens every week. And I want to invite you guys to be a part of a growth group. Growth groups are small groups here that we have that people meet in people's homes during the week. And it's such a beautiful place for you to be at. And I want to just kind of like highlight three ways that we grow when we are a part of a community. When we are part of a community like a growth group, that we grow. Number one, we grow through teaching. When we are learning through each other, like the studying of God's word, and you learn from other people, you know, the way they're understanding the scriptures, and we explain the scriptures to each other, you know, we learn. But also we learn through like life on life, you know, sort of thing that we are doing with each other. So teaching becomes a vital part of us learning. But also number two is we grow through observation. And I think this one is a big one, actually. We grow through observation. You guys know the quote which says, most things are caught than taught, right? More things are caught than taught. And I think what happens within community, the community gives you a chance for you to observe other people's lives and see how other people are honoring God with their lives. And therefore, that gives you a chance to observe how they're doing that. And sometimes you can find yourself, you know, chatting in a, let's say, small group, and you're talking about, somebody's sharing about what happened maybe with their mom or with somebody else in their family. And they are saying, hey, this is a situation, and this is how I handle the situation. And in the way they handle the situation, you can see a lot of grace in there. You see a lot of compassion in their story. You see a lot of love happening. And you are like, wow, if I was the one in that situation, I wouldn't have been saying those things. If I was the one in that situation, I wouldn't have handled it that way. But the way they handled it actually brought better fruit from the situation than I would have done. You know what? Next time, I'm going to handle it that way if I ever find myself in that situation. Learning through observation, to honor God through observation. And I think this is a big one because it happens quite a lot in our lives. That's why some of us would say, I have a mentor that I've never met. Because you are learning from them from afar, just like observing what they're doing from afar, right? It happens sometimes. And often, we see this in community, the people that you see, that you like, or other people come and say, hey, I had a situation, I never handled it right, and I want to just confess that, right? And they're sharing their struggles. And that helps you to grow through observation. Number three, in community, you grow because there is challenge and encouragement. The challenge and encouragement. Because it is very clear, as we have established already, that most of us do not do the things we consider to be good for us. Therefore, we need other people to stand with us, to stand around us and encourage us. Other people that can say, hey, we love you very much to the point that we're not going to let you slack in this area. So we want to walk with you. We want to carry you in that. Other people might say, hey, you've been slacking in this area. I think you need to start showing up. Come on, dude. Come on, girl. You need to start showing up in this area. So people challenge you and encourage you in a small group. So consider, if you're not part of a growth group, consider being in a part of a growth group, because growth never happens in isolation. Always happens in community. God may not be calling you to what's easy, but wherever he calls you to, will grow you, will grow you. Number three, when you begin to live this kingdom-centered life, you will realize that God does not call us to what's easy, but he calls us to where his grace abounds the most. God does not call us to what's easy, but he calls us to where his grace abounds the most. He calls us to places that we will experience his grace the most. He's not calling you to a place where he wants you to get all the accolades and everything else. No, no, no. He's calling you to a place where you can experience his grace. So wherever you're at the moment, you find it hard? Is the road you're on hard? Is the situation you are facing, is it hard for you to live a kingdom-centered life? If it is, that's the best place for you to experience his grace. For you to experience his grace. Because God is not calling for perfect people to be a part of his kingdom. God is not calling for people that have figured it all out together. No, God is calling for people that are willing to experience his grace. People that are saying, hey, I see myself just as a mustard seed. And I don't know if my effort will really make an impact here. I don't know if my generosity is just like a drop in the ocean here. I don't know if my love is really doing anything here. I feel small. God says, you're perfect. You're the perfect person for it. Because there, I will show you my grace. You experience my grace right there. So, if you say yes to God, wherever he's calling you to be, to do, you will experience his grace. His grace to sustain you. His grace to lead you. His grace to provide. His grace to protect. His grace to guide. His grace to rescue. His grace to fight for you. His grace to fight with you. His grace to be with you. He has grace, so much grace for you. So God is inviting you, not because you are able, not because you are capable, But he's inviting you, if you're willing to say, I know I cannot do it, but I will go forth because I know that I'll experience your grace if I go there. So God never invites us to what's easy. God invites us to what glorifies him the most. God never invites us to what's easy. God invites us to what will grow us the most. God never invites us to what's easy. God invites us to where we'll experience his grace the most. Are you willing to experience that? Would you please just close your eyes for a minute? Some of you already know this. Some of you already know the people in your life. Maybe God is inviting you to begin to treat better, to love. People you find annoying, God may be calling you to love them, show kindness. Some of you already know the places that God is calling you, that you could be a part of putting his kingdom on display. Some of you already know what you must do. I want to just invite you in this moment. Would you offer a prayer to God right now? If you already know the kinds of people God is already calling, just pray for those people. But also just say, God, here I am. Help me, God. Help me to live a kingdom-centered life in this situation that I know it's not easy. Just lift a prayer to God. And if you have no idea, then just pray that God would show you where he's inviting you to serve him better. Just have a prayer to God in this moment right now. God, we are coming to you. We're coming to you, Lord. Because if we say yes, we know that we'll give the weight your name deserves. If we say yes, we know, God, that we will grow. If we say yes, we know that we'll experience your grace. So I pray, God, that all of us would have the humility that we want God because we figured it out, because we know it all together, or we have it all together. We will go because even in our lack, in our inadequacy, we can depend on God's grace, which is enough for us. Help us, God, to live kingdom-centered lives. That every talk we have with people will say, may your kingdom come. That every treatment we give to people will say, may your kingdom come. That every conversation we have would be, may your kingdom come on the earth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you please stand one more time as we worship God again?